Welcome, everybody. This is Tom. As usual, across from me is Tim.
Howdy.
Howdy. Well, this week we're back again with three artists. We've got Goldfrapp with her new album, Head First. We've got Bonnie Prince Billy and the Cairo Gang with Wonder Show of the World. And the new one from She and Him called Volume 2. But first up, Tim, got some news.
All right, we're going to start off the news with a story that just made me chuckle. Even though I'm not, over the years I've become less and less of a Jack White fan, but this one really gave me a good laugh here. Headline is from Pitchfork, and it's Jack White sponsored park saved. Well, evidently, Jack White had pitched in some money to help refurbish a baseball park in downtown Detroit. Well, evidently some people went in and stole some of the fence. And it must have been a good amount of fence, because then they later had to get some more money and go refurbish the park. I got a kick out of that. You know, Jack White put up a park, and then people just decide, or helped to refurbish a park, and then people decide, hey, let's take the fence. Evidently, donations were made by Home Depot, Bear Paint, Rigid Tools, Chevy, and a local restaurant called Armando's. So, you know what? It's just nice when people, you know, pitch in to, you know, do stuff around the community. It's not nice when you decide to steal stuff as memento. It's like why Jim Morrison can't have a grave in France, because they want to kick his ass out.
Yeah. It's nice to hear with Jack White doing something good. It seems like the last times we've heard Jack White sort of running his mouth, and
he's vocal, he's opinionated, not as much as a lot of, you know, prima donnas out there, but I think he has the tendency to jump ahead of himself and really get angry at people who are not hurting him. You know, like the big thing that I always come to is the Q101 thing, you know, which is our local radio station. Well, it used to be a cool radio station. But anyway, they played, you know, an early, which one was it? One of the last White Stripes albums, they played on the radio.
Is it Icky Thump?
It might have been, yeah. And Jack White got very irate, even called in and kind of chewed them out for it. To which, you know, obviously Tom and I would say, so what? One, who listens to the radio? Two, who sits with a cassette deck anymore listening to an album? If the album's good, that's free advertisement. Shut up and accept it. If anything, call in and say, hey, yeah, that's our new album. Give them a plug or something.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick about it and say, we're going to sue the hell out of you.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, he could have just been a dick about that. And I think I may have mentioned this then. It may have been a publicity stunt. You know,
true.
As well.
You always got to be very wary about that.
Yeah. Anyhow, going to the opposite end of the spectrum, a artist I think Tim has heard of, and a band that I believe both of us have heard of, has lost the leading member of their band. Peter Steele from the band Type O Negative passed away on Friday. He was only 48. He died of apparent heart attack. Was that really very sudden? I haven't seen anything yet if he has had any heart problems or prior to this, but it was very sudden. I know some friends that were very big Type O Negative fans, so and I'm sure a lot of you out there have heard of them, so our sympathy and words go out to any fans and you know, members of Type O Negative. So very sad, but at least we still have the music of Type O Negative. One of my favorite songs they did is a cover of Cinnamon Girl.
That's an awesome song. Neil Young song, wasn't that?
Yeah. And if you haven't heard of Peter Steele, give him a listen. Definitely his voice is immediately recognizable. It's a very low voice. So sort of goes with the style. It's, Typo Negative, if you haven't heard, is a sort of a, I'd say, heavy metal, sort of My Bloody Valentine's style. But he will be missed, at least we still have his music. So,
if you do a cross search on Google or Bing, if you are that desperate, if you do a cross search for Nosferatu, the original silent, first vampire movie silent film, in Typo Negative, there's actually a fan created version of Nosferatu, which is in the public domain, where they took Typo Negative music and replaced the Stagio piano.
Oh, nice.
So it actually, it makes it a little more fun, a little more palatable, especially towards a younger audience, yes, to watch, you know, who might not be as keen on it. And do watch it. There's a lot of great cinematography in there, especially considering early, just the beginning of German expressionist film.
Yeah.
You know, heavy use of shadows, really some cool scenes in that. So, I mean, if you're a fan of that kind of stuff, check it out.
Yes, sir. I didn't mention the where I got it from. It's from various sources. I believe even the band released a statement on, I believe, their MySpace and their website. So if you hadn't heard about it, you probably were under a rock. So anyhow, Tim, your next story?
Okay, the next one is actually going to lead into yours, but it is a... I got this one off of Lifehacker, actually. There's a... In the plethora of music streaming services out there and various music sites where you can get MP3s for this and learn more about different artists. This is a new one called Muzic, MUZIC.com. Now, it's very young, so keep in mind it's been getting some press this week and it's kind of chugging along a little bit slow, but what's cool about it is it's all focused on smaller independent artists as well as well, it's just a great place to go and find out what's the new music spot like. Like right now, Music Artist Spotlight is The Paraffins. Oh, I gotta check this one out. All right, anyway, the reason why I really like this one, there's a lot of stuff on here. There's some cool features to it. And you don't have to sign up to start using it right away. You can, and it's probably a good idea to sign up if you want to have it save all your favorites and help you do a little more in-depth searching. But like I said, if you just want to pop on and see what's new, what's hot, you can just go ahead and search. Like I just clicked on Broken Social Scene. It'll show me some tracks are available. I can hit Get Song, and I can actually download an MP3. Pretty cool. So don't expect this to be like Lala or iTunes or anything like that. Don't expect comprehensive albums. Don't be able to, or don't expect to sit down and be able to listen to, you know, a bunch of songs and listen to the album straight through. This is more to help you discover new music, or just pick up some odd tracks that are floating around there in the ether. So it's really kind of cool just to go ahead. Find some cool new stuff and just kind of waste some time. The one negative thing I will say, we're not going to do a real review of it, but the one thing I will say that's a little bit on the negative side is there seems to be a little bit too much. We liked services like Lala because they were very streamlined, a lot of information, but all the vital stuff is boom, right in front of you, right on the main screen, and you really don't have to dig for it. I think music seems to be a little bit clouded with stuff, but I think that's kind of what they're going for. They want to give you a lot of stuff, throw a lot of bands at you, and just let, the pieces fall where they may, and hopefully you find something really cool, really new. All right, that's about all I had to say about that. So, you know, that's from the little guy. Let's talk about the big guys, Tom.
Big boy. Apple. Which
owns everything.
Among the iPad release was last week, they also announced a patent for concert ticketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Concert Tickets. Wow, that's a very... they had to think about that one for a long time. But it's a pretty cool concept. It's an iTunes-based web service for tickets that will distribute e-tickets to the handset, maps of the event, song lyrics, the ability to buy live recording of the gig, virtual coupons for free drinks, and a social feature to find other fans at the concert. And this goes along with another patent they released recently called iGroups, which sort of does the same thing, but it allows you to do other things like share photos and music and stuff, sort of Bluetooth-wise. You have for the iPhone, you get a Bluetooth ID token, when it finds a clump of people, and you can share different things like photos and stuff like that, photo, text, contact info, and pretty much whatever. So this, in concert with the concert ticket app, seems to be making iTunes and Apple more in the, you know, other than just iTunes Music Store and their, you know, the iPod, they're definitely putting a big foot into the music scene in general. Hopefully it's, I'd like to see them compete with Ticketmaster and what's the other one, Live Nation, which are pretty much the big boys. And I think being that it's Apple, I think that's very much a possibility. And I'm always a fan of using the internet and the online and technology to move, you know, stuff forward. I always like, I used to like having the actual ticket. Now it's more of a hassle. I misplace it or something. Actually having like a thing on my phone that they could just scan is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can save it to a library somewhere and have all your ticket stubs there virtually, which would be cool. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. Someday in the future, I want to get an iPhone, so it would be nice to have that feature. Yes, I'm looking forward to the Apple overlords. So,
on a similar thing, I want to talk on a personal note. I want to break it down for y'all. Just lower this podcast down. Now, speaking of iPhone, I recently started using, if you go to Walmart, they have what's called a Straight Talk plan. You know, in your area, you have to check out what they have and what's available for you. It actually runs on the Verizon network. And they have, not at all of these Walmarts, but they have what's called a Samsung Finesse, which is basically like a, well, it's like the iPhone. I mean, it's a touch screen. You know, Tom's looking at it right now. It's like a touch screen phone. Pretty cool, pretty nice. Here's my problem. As a podcaster who listens to a lot of podcasts, if I watch video, I can do a little thing where I can select the little scroll, you know, the little time meter, and like jump to the point where I want to jump to in the movie. And that's normal in a touch, touch screen. Samsung, if someone out there is listening, for Christ's sake, do a patch so I can do that in the music player. Because if I have to stop a 3-hour, or if I'm listening to Drunken Zombie, our buddies down in Peoria, you know, if I'm listening to a 2-hour-long rambling episode of theirs and I have to stop an hour in and then restart it, I have to sit there and hold the fast-forward button for about 8 minutes. What the hell was going through your mind? Fix that. But anyway, it's a cool phone, it's a cool service, so I just wanted to mention that since you brought that up. You know, if there's any, I'm just saying that if there's any more broke people out there, the phone itself costs $300, but you want the plan's only like $30 a month for 1,000 minutes. Not too bad. All right, let's move on. How about a quick plug? Well, first of all, the quick plug for us. Obviously, right now we're on KnowNothingMusicShow.podomatic.com. Again, that's KNOW, KnowNothingMusicShow.podomatic.com. Sorry, choking over my words. We are only going to be there for a little bit longer. I know we've been saying this for three months. We're talking to our guy, our man in Japan, our guy who, well, not really, but no, our our guy who's helping us work on the site and getting it all put up. Right now, if you visit knownothingmusicshow.com, save that site, would you? Right now you can find an awesome Shakespeare quote, which is actually what my favorite Shakespeare quote. Whatever, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. The point is, once that is up and running, that's where our website's going to be. That's where our latest RSS feed's going to be. We're going to be changing our feed. We'll let you know exactly when that happens. All right, up to the next real plugs of actual information, as opposed to hypothetical information, we would like to, as always, thank our buddies out in Pennycult.
Yes.
I did a drunken video promo in, of course they got me as soon as I was leaving the bar, and you know, I was already sick to begin with, so I'm hopped up on cold medicine. I've been drinking, so I was in rare form, but I think I did an awesome promo. I can't wait to see it online for our website. I know I was smart enough to use the new website, so anyway, check out pennycult.com. Pennycult.com. There's a ton of websites. We are a official member, even though we really don't have any info on there. They're just using a placeholder for us.
And speaking of Pennycult, why don't we play some of those promos right now?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, this week we've got three artists and Tim. Why don't you start it off with Bonnie Prince Billy? Yeah, let's start off with Bonnie Prince Billy.
How about Will Oldham?
Let's do that.
Will Oldham, a.k.a. Bonnie Prince Billy. Now, we talked about Bonnie Prince Billy first part of last year, I think. I'm not saying the day, but when the Beware album came out, it had to be early part, in March. So, about a year ago. So he did, he put out that album, then he did Fun Time Come Down as Bonnie Billy and the Picket Line. Now, he's one of those artists, so majority of his albums are under Bonnie Prince Billy, at least since 99. And then the latest couple, he's done Bonnie Billy and, or in this case, The Wonder Show of the World is Bonnie Prince Billy and the Cairo Gang. Okay. Yeah, like I said, we kind of covered him last time. He was an, I guess you can say a country music artist with a little bit of folk, a little bit of indie rock in there. This one's a little bit more on the countryside, this album in particular. We talked about him last year, and we are actually big fans of that album. We are huge fans of Beware, and somehow Fun Time Come Down just slipped between the cracks of everything we're doing. So we'll have to come back to that one. But let's focus right now, Wonder Show of the World. Let's get this one rolling. Tom, first review, what do you think?
First off, I want to talk about the Cairo Gang. The big one is Will Oldham, Cairo Gang, I believe, is out of Texas area.
Texas.
I can't really find much about them, they're acoustic, type of band, and it's like a singer-songwriter thing. But anyhow, Cairo Gang and Will Oldham with a Wonder Show of the World. This is, and I'm gonna come up front and say it because the other two albums really did not stand up to this album. I think probably remember we sort of had a love fest with Bonnie Prince Billy back when we heard Beware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just no surprise to me, probably no surprise to the rest of you. I really, really enjoyed this album. Bonnie Prince Billy, I believe the last album was sort of a lot more twangy country, if I can remember. And this is a lot more acoustic, sort of folky type of country.
It definitely goes into a lot of slow ballads.
Slow ballads. A band I know Tim hates, but I heard a lot of it in this, or at least a couple of songs, was the Fleet Foxes in a couple of songs. Just with the echoey, with the dual vocals on one of the tracks, I think I really enjoyed that on this. The later tracks, I think, let me look. The later tracks I really enjoyed as well. Merciless, and Great, was a very sparse, song, not a lot going on. I think Where the Wind Blows was the same. But overall, I really enjoyed this album. I need to give it a lot more listen because I've been busy and stuff like that. But I did listen to this, a really, really good album. I mean, Will Oldham just always seems to hit a homer with me. And his songs always have the right aspect of, musicality and, everything sort of mixes well together. I like his voice as well. I think this one, of the three albums, is probably the most solid. I have some other things to say about the other two, that sort of, both of those albums have in common. I'm not going to say if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think Bonnie Prince Billy, with The Wonder Show of the World, really does his own thing. Definitely country, definitely folk, but he's not. He definitely takes cues from other places, but he makes it his own. And that's something I'll talk about later with the other two albums. But as it stands, this is the album for me of the week. Definitely recommend. Definitely something I buy. Actually, already bought it. Went on Amazon, got it. Definitely glad I got that. Glad to have this in my collection. And with songs like Troublesome Heroes and all the way down to Where the Wind Blows and Kids. This is definitely an album that I'm going to keep on listening to. Definitely kind of going back and look, find that other album that we missed. I'm gonna try and find some of the Cairo Gang stuff. They're off, I believe, Narnak Records, a record label I really haven't heard of. But hopefully, Bonnie Prince Billy's touring with these guys. I'd love to see this live. Definitely an intimate little small venue. But yeah, this is the album of the week for me. I'm going to keep on listening to it. So, Tim, I really don't have anything much more to say. How about you?
Okay. Well, where do I start? I was kind of reading over the wiki page, and I didn't realize that, he had a small run at a film career up until about 99 or so, where he decided to kind of put on hold, or excuse me, 89. And he's done a few things since, including, and this is something that every time I read the name of this album, Wonder Show of the World, I always thought of the show Wonder Shows, and if you've ever seen that, God help you if you have. He was actually on an episode where he played a preacher on Wonder Shows, and so I'm going to have to re-listen to the album and find the hidden meaning in the subtext. But like I needed a reason to re-listen to this album. Like Tom said, it is a very good album. He does heartfelt and he does heartfelt and personable in a way that it's just so endearing when you listen to him. You can't help just but be drawn in. The most difficult part of this album, like I said, it is a slow ballad album. Yeah. There isn't a lot of much. There's a lot of pep and upbeat nature to this. This is an album that I kind of had to work my. Well, I didn't have to work myself up too much. It was one that I was excited to listen to because, yes, we did like Bonnie Prince Billy, his last album, Beware. So I was excited to hear it, but at the same time, I'm listening to it for a little bit and like I'm waiting for something to help pick me up and give me a little shot of energy because I don't know, I didn't know if I was quite ready to kind of put myself in that mindset but it wasn't really a drain. If anything, he does in such a beautiful romantic way that I just couldn't help but just by be a little reinvigorated by the wonderful crafting and song styling that Bonnie can do. So, you know, with that in mind, on top of what Tom has already said, I'll just put in my two cents, which is, yes, definitely a buy album. This is probably the one I was looking most forward to listening to this week, and it did not let me down. I think there's like one more thing that I wanted to say, but it's just not popping in my head right now. I think Tom pretty much hit a lot of the points that I was going to hit anyway. So, yeah, it's definitely a buy album. I definitely enjoyed this, and oh yeah, Tom was really right about the fact that the other ones, well, we'll talk about them in, you know, 1 second here, but they just really didn't meet this awesome level that he brings to the plate. But hey, the guy's been around the block a few times, he keeps putting on albums constantly, he knows how to write a great song, and he's not deteriorating in his craft at all. All right, I'll stop there. Tom, what is the next album we got?
Goldfrapp.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Head first. Goldfrapp is an electronic music duo out of London, England. Consists of Alison Goldfrapp and Will Gregory on synth. Alison Goldfrapp is also on vocals and synth. They've been around since 99. I first heard of them in, I'd say, 2003, 2005 or so, with... I really got into them with Supernature, and then have listened to their subsequent releases with Seventh Tree, which came out in 2008, and now Head First, that came out in 2010. The prior releases were the Black Cherry in 2003 and Felt Mountain, which was their debut in 2000. Like I said, they're out of London, England. And the album Black Cherry, it's, I think one of them, Supernature, sorry, was nominated for a Best Electronic Dance Album at the Grammy Awards that year. Not much more to say. I think they've gotten some awards and been nominated for different things. So, not much to say. I think Tim's heard of them before. I know one thing, they do play a lot. They do play with their sound. It's definitely electronic, but they do play around with sound. But I think we'll get more into that when we do our reviews. Tim, what's your thought on Goldfrapp's Head First?
I think my first introduction to him was Supernature. I want to see was that album. I could be a little bit wrong. This wouldn't be a first time, wouldn't be the first time in this episode. So, all right, here's the thing about Goldfrapp. I knew what to expect going into this. Probably my anticipation level of any of the three albums was probably the lowest on this one. Not that I hated Goldfrapp, it's just not something that I would regularly listen to, and I haven't. It was an album that I listened to a few times when it first came out. It was interesting. It was what it was. Okay, listening to this one, yeah, my opinion really hasn't changed. There's some fun, interesting stuff. The techno-pop beat, it's done well enough, but at the same time, it's not something that I would normally run to. It's not an album I would put on all the time. Of all the albums, you know, I listened to a couple of times, wasn't wild over. There's nothing for me to sink my teeth into, I guess is the point I want to make. There's nothing that I can really dig into. There's nothing that makes me want to come back and say, wow, I got to hear this track again. There are some pretty good catchy ones, but, you know, even the catchiest of the bunch, you know, whether it's, you know, a song like Alive, where... You know, you really start getting pulled into it, but at the same time, after a bit, then it just becomes annoying. So I just couldn't get myself stuck on this album. This is really something that is definitely it's an easy pass for me. I don't even see it being much of a recommend to anyone. Then again, that's just my opinion. I'm really surprised that Tom and I were in agreement over Bonnie Prince Billy, only because we've been at odds with each other for weeks upon weeks. And I'm really kind of curious now. Like I said, I didn't like it. It's a thumbs down for me. It's an easy pass. Tom, I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about the album to see if we're going to be in agreement this album, or excuse me, this episode, or if we're going back to our old ways.
I don't think we're going back to our old ways, at least this episode.
Okay.
Because I am a Goldfrapp fan, liked Head First. Seventh Tree was okay. I think Supernature was their sort of, signature album, at least to me. Head First is definitely a pass. I'm disappointed. They do a sound that really sounds a lot like 80s, like 80s pop with the synths and stuff,
yeah,
like ABBA,
pop.
Stuff like that. And, frankly, if I want to listen to that stuff, I'll go get those albums.
Exactly.
That's a big thing I've had lately. I think going back to, we talked about them a while back. You liked the album, I didn't. That leaves the door open for a lot of possibilities. If I can think of it when we're talking about She and Him, I'll mention it, but most likely I won't. In general, that's a big thing with me when bands sort of take a sound from a past decade or a general sound and sort of retool it. I either have a problem or can never get into it totally because they're just rehashing, an old sound. And to me, it's sort of cheating, If I, like I said, if I want to listen to that old sound, I'll go listen to an artist from that era, who just happened to come up upon that sound, like ABBA or. Song, any song and lyricists from the 60s and 70s or whatever, I'll go listen to them because it was new then when they did it, and it always seems to have a more just a fresh feel to it, even though these albums and tracks have been around for a lot longer. As far as Goldfrapp goes, there was some good songs on here, like Tim said, Alive. I think Voice Thing I enjoyed. They're not bad tracks. They're not bad tracks. It's just for some reason they seem hollow.
Yeah, they really don't go anywhere. And you're right. My main issue with it was, and the reason why I can't really make it a recommend is there's better albums out there to recommend. So what really puts this out in front of the others?
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I have to say.
Right.
If I said any more, I would just be repeating myself. This is definitely a pass. I don't think it's an album I'm going to continue listening to. But who knows? There's been albums that we've hated and then come back to and we're like, what was I smoking? But I really highly doubt that's going to be the case with this.
Yeah.
Let's go to the final album. Tim, I know you're a big fan of the last album.
Not big fan, but we'll talk about that.
With She and Him with Volume 2.
Very good. Of course, if you remember Volume 1, of course, from She and Him, which was Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward. Okay, indie folk, American indie folk. Definitely that awesome kind of laid-back retro sound. Well, Zooey Deschanel has that very classic-sounding voice. I'm sure you're all familiar with her at this point, the actress/singer. Now, what I was kind of leading into there was that Volume 1, I did enjoy. There's a handful of really nice songs on there. Some great ballads, some points where I think M. Ward and Zooey Deschanel, their talents really merged and really equaled up to what was a novel album. I mean, it offered a lot of promise. I think that's what I'll kind of leave my intro off on. Volume 1 left on off of a lot of promise. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, I'm not a huge M. Ward fan. I don't love his albums. What I love is when he actually works with other when he works with other artists. I think he has great musical sense. The problem is, I don't think he can carry it all himself. Now, there's a lot of indie folks out there that will say I'm wrong. And you know what? I will respectfully disagree. So I'm always, always excited whenever I hear M. Ward's collaborating. So I think I talked about this on M. Ward's last album where I said, you know what? She and him, that Volume 1, offered a lot of promise. I wanted to hear what Volume 2 had to offer. So without going any further, Tom, go ahead, give us your take on Volume 2.
I sort of alluded to this in the beginning with Bonnie Prince Billy, that the remaining two albums sort of had a lot in common. And unfortunately, it's something that I already talked about with Goldfrapp. I mean, I love Zoe Deschanel. She has a great voice. Really like the style of this, the sound. It's very 50s, 60s, just very relaxing, a very relaxing pop sound. And pretty much Zoe Deschanel is pretty much the one who is the vocals throughout. Here and there, you'll hear M. Ward, and his vocals are pretty much, you could immediately recognize those. Unfortunately, this is the same problem I had with Goldfrapp. It's of 50s, 60s style, sort of augmented with by M. Ward and stuff. But it still sounds like that 50s, 60s style. And again, although the songs are very pretty sounding and there's nothing wrong musically, I can't get into it. I mean, like I said, I love Zoe's voice. But the other problem I have is I really don't hear her. Her range really doesn't change that much on this. She stays in that sort of...
It's damn near monotone.
Yeah.
I want to say, this is something that I was thinking about with Volume 1, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but you just got me started, where what really angers me is I think that M. Ward's rubbing off on her.
Yeah. Her vocal, the range really doesn't change. I mean, there is a time where it seems like there's a little ebb, and then it comes back.
She'll do her sing song thing, and then she'll put a little lilt at the end. That's the range.
Yeah, and I really think she's got more in her, and I would love to hear that. But I don't know if it's got to do with M. Ward's producing or the style they're going for, that she's just not really showing her full range. And I really hope this isn't her full range, because I'm hoping she's a much better singer. Personally, I like her as an actress. I think she's a great vocalist, but if this is her range, I'm personally disappointed. But going back to the album as in general, this isn't an album I'm going to listen to much more. I don't think I was a fan of M. Ward. I can't remember, it's been so long. And I don't remember if I really enjoyed the first one. Again, it's been a year. We've gone over about 200 or so, I think, albums. So it's hard for me to keep track. If I'm wrong, call me out, please. But as far as this goes, this is a pass. If I'm going to recommend anything, I mean, look out for anything M. Ward produces, because he seems to, like Tim said, has an ear for just...
Even though I wasn't a huge fan of this album... do check out Monsters of Folk. I think it is well done. It's a good sounding album. It's just not my cup of tea. And I know that is pretty big. So if you're going to look out for anything M. Ward related.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. This and Goldfrapp's Head First was really a disappointment. I had high hopes for both of these. I do like that dreamy pop sound. I always, there was a great video game maybe 01 or 02 called Stubbs the Zombie or whatever, and that had a great soundtrack where a lot of different bands covered 60s era pop songs. So I do like that sound, but I don't like when artists go back and I think sort of steal and don't really do much else than copy a sound. So both this and Goldfrapp definitely thumbs down. Probably gonna piss off a lot of yous out there.
A lot of yous?
Yeah, yous guys.
Yous, the South Side coming out?
I guess so. Not an album I'm gonna listen to. Both this and Goldfrapp. But like I said, Bonnie Prince Billy is my recommend this week. Already bought it. Recommend it to any of you out there that like
yous.
Like Bonnie Prince Billy, or think you like country, actually listen to a good country artist. Tim.
Yeah, a country artist who won't turn you off.
Yeah.
You know, because it's too country.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bite my tongue. Let's just kind of finish this one off. We're actually doing a fairly short episode here. Okay, here's what I have to say about Volume 2. All right, like I said, Volume 1 I thought was a decent album. It had a lot of promise to it. I'll go as far in agreeing with Tom that you're right. I don't think they really capitalize on something special they have together. M. Ward is a great musician. I do love the musical aspect that he has. The thing that always kills the album for me, or kills an M. Ward album for me, is M. Ward. I can't stand his voice. And I can listen to some damn annoying voices. God knows I listen to mine all day long. So my biggest thing is that, right, it doesn't feel like she's really stretching herself. This just, it feels like lazy methadone sort of, it's just like soft drone Starbucks coffee house pop where it's just made to be just kind of really, you know, kind of sing-songy and a lilty and sitting in the background and just kind of lull you into a false sense of security. There's no real balls to it all. The disappointment is that I think the best songs that they have done have tended to be covers. So it doesn't really do doesn't say a lot for their ability together, when the best stuff that they've, original stuff they've done, has been slightly above average, or at average, maybe a little bit better. Pleasant. How about pleasant is probably the nicest way I can put it. I haven't been wowed, I haven't been floored, and I haven't been all that interested now. And like I said, I gave it to the second album because I like where the sound was going. I've heard the second album, and I'll give it this much. I'll give it this much of the benefit of the doubt. I do enjoy it to a point. It's the album, it's kind of album I have to be in the mood to want to listen to. A lot like, Volume 1, I do have to be in that mood, that frame of mind, and I will sit down, I'll enjoy a few tracks, but I might not make it to the end. It's one of those albums where, okay, I heard 6 tracks. The other 6 tracks aren't going to be that much different. So I got my fill, I can move on now. And I might do that a few times, over the course of months to, however long, if I just go flip through it, like, oh, I want something a little more mellow and I don't feel like putting on a Belle and Sebastian album, I'll put this one on. With that said, if you're a fan of their sound, this is something you really want to listen to, if you're M. Ward completist, if you just have a thing for Zooey Deschanel, why the heck not? Pick it up. It's not that bad, but get it cheap. I wouldn't pay full price for this. If you really want a great moody album, Tom said it right, Bonnie Prince Billy and the Cairo Gang, pick that one up. That's the buy album of the week. Goldfrapp, for me, is the easiest dismiss. I don't care. Go to one of her early albums. Which one's the one you said?
Supernature.
Okay, Supernature. Yeah. Okay, yeah, pick up something earlier and save a few bucks. Like I said, again, if you can download this one on the cheap, maybe She and Him, Volume 2. Check out Volume 1. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. I'm just not really into this. It's just way too loungy. It's way too, you know, smoking a cigarette and, you know, drinking a scotch on rocks. It's just...
Yeah. I think if I listen to this too long, I'll drop the cigarette and light myself on fire.
Well...
And fall asleep and die. Sorry.
No, you're not far off the mark, so...
So, anyhow, I've got one pick for next week. Got a band I saw a while ago with the Fuck Buttons. The band Growing out of New York. They've got a new release that came out on the 6th of this month called Pumps. And unfortunately, I just missed them. They were here in Chicago on the 15th. They're on tour right now. Go check out their MySpace page. Just Google it, you'll be able to find it. But yeah, check them out if you had the chance. Really enjoyed them when I saw them opening for the Fuck Buttons at the Empty Bottle. Yeah, I believe the Empty Bottle. And I think they were just here at the Bottom Lounge. So, yeah, that's my pick of the week with Growing with Pumps. Tim, how about you?
All right. Well, I'm really skipping over some albums here, but I tell you what, the big one that I want to cover is one that I just heard of. It almost slipped under my radar. It is Broken Bells. If you heard this one, features Danger Mouse and The Shins.
Wow.
So a nice little collab. But we'll talk more about that next week. And I've heard a couple of tracks on another music podcast, which kept me informed. Thank God there's a good music podcast out there. They're doing their homework and their research and not taking a month off whenever they damn well feel like it. I kid. But anyway, so Broken Bells. Like I said, I heard a couple of those tracks. It sounds very promising. It's got some, you know, but the collaboration should be very unique and interesting. I'm hoping, I have high hopes for that. Do you have another album, or are we only going to do the two?
Let's only do two.
Yeah, right. Let's slow it down a little, because there's a lot of good music out there that I want to listen to, but not tear apart.
Yeah, we were harsh this week.
That's right, that's right. I've been very lenient over the past few months on some albums, only because I've heard a lot of really great stuff, and it's really hard now to hear all that great music and fit in more music. So, yeah, we'll only do the two albums next week. And otherwise, what else, Tom?
Is there anything, I know you've had a lot of... albums on your list. What's some of the albums you're looking forward to?
You're right. Let's look into the future. I have that page up, actually. New Pornographers have one out coming in the first week of May. Then a couple weeks later, Band of Horses have their new one called Infinite Arms. Same week, you have LCD Sound System and the Black Keys. So yeah, we're going to have another big month, much like the last couple months have been for us. Already this year, so yeah. Wow, I'm always excited when great new music is coming out. So, yeah, and there's a ton more stuff on the horizon. If anyone out there is really interested, go out and check out Metacritic. Is always a good place to check out for, or excuse me, look out for new albums and at least get an idea of how the albums are doing, how they're you know, faring on the huge Metacritic grading scale. Otherwise, there's another site you use. Is it Pitchfork, or was it? You look at me like I'm insane. No, I could have sworn that there's something you emailed me like a long time ago of new albums coming out.
Yeah, I have no clue. That was a long time ago. I don't remember what I did last week. but anyhow. It's nice outside now, so go enjoy the nice weather. There's some live big shows coming up. I think Coachella was going on this weekend out in California. Lollapalooza has yet to announce their lineup. I think they've just put the O's of every band that's playing. And then we've got Pitchfork here in Chicago as well. So, yeah. Definitely get your tickets for those. I think Pitchfork's already sold out for their 3-day. But anyhow, that's all I got to say. Go listen to some good music. Tim.
Goodbye, God bless, and check out pitchfork.com and click on their best new music link, and they have a bunch of great artists with links to be able to listen to them on eMusic, InSound, or Lala. So, hey, other than that, take care, and we'll talk to you next week.